You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, ArmorAll, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on ArmorAll products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
From Autosport.com, Autosport Magazine, I'm Kevin Turner, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Well, I'm at Silverstone, and with me, a very special guest. He's a Macau Grand Prix winner. He's an Aston Martin Autosport Young Driver of the Year, BRDC Young Driver of the Year winner as well. And he's also a top guy. I'm really looking forward to this. I think this will be a really nice chat. Welcome, Luke Browning, back
Thank
to the Autosport Podcast. How are you doing?
Miss you, Kevin. Yeah. I'm feeling good. It's nice to be here. It's a lovely sunny day at Silverstone.
It really isn't.
We can pretend.
It's we can. Nice I suppose. The listeners don't know, do they? Nice beating sunshine. It's 30 degrees. It's really not
beautiful.
Actually, some of the worst conditions I've had, I think, on the motorway on the way here on dual carriageway. Really
absolutely.
Bad.
Yeah, we were sat at the top of the BRDC and had to nip downstairs to second floor to get my coat on again. I took one step outside and said, "Nope,
no."
Down I go. I shall use my Superstars jumper.
Yes, at one point I did think I was going to be facing the wrong way in my E36 BMW. Oh. Unfortunately, the car is more competent than I am, so it's okay. Let's talk about motor racing for a bit, and then we'll crack on to other things. But so obviously this year, second year of Formula 3 with High Tech. Last year, sort of a bit of a mixed bag, but finished on a high with that Macau GP win. So, and testing's gone well. So what is the aim for 2024 for you?
Yeah, so 2023 is a roundup. So I got chucked in a week before the start of the season. It was difficult. It was a tough year. I hardly knew any of the circuits. And I look back on it now and think, oof, I was awfully underprepared, you know. But ultimately, we showed speed in places that was great. And I look at it now. It was a tough year to finish at this point in the championship. I think we crashed in a third of the races or something ridiculous. Our DNF rate was super, super high, which I think is ultimately what determined our finishing result in the actual championship. But I look back on it, you know, we won the World Cup. We finished fourth in Monaco. At Silverstone, we should have been on pole by 0.3 if I hadn't have thrown it off. But, you know, the pace is there. It's just putting it together. And I think, you know, it's finally starting to come together. I think maturity is hitting on my side. And I'm developing, you know. It's not easy. This championship is so tough. I'm against the drivers that are the best at this age. And, you know, we are succeeding. So, you know, we just finished the combined test at Bahrain, P1. Obviously, it is only testing. We can't look into it too far, but we had a nice little margin. And, you know, I'm sure others have got in the bag, but so do we. So hopefully it's enough to hold on to that by the time we come to qualifying in a week's time.
So do you think last year was sort of maybe a little bit you overreaching because the car, when the car wasn't quite there, slash you didn't have the experience, so you were kind of living on your wits a little bit, perhaps?
Precisely. Yeah, I look at it now as so naive. You know, just... It was almost a desperation because I loved it so much. It was a desperation to try and optimize everything. And I wanted to be fastest at every lap, on every circuit, every time I was in the car. And unfortunately, that's just unrealistic. I think the maturity now is very much the mindset of, yeah, okay, we're there on pace, but I'm not going to risk trying to find half a tenth in one corner to be, you know, half tenth up the road instead of just, you know, taking a P2 or P3. It really is that mentality in F3. If you finish fifth or sixth in every race in the year, you'll win the championship by 20, 30 points. Like, it's just, that is F3. It's so tight. People that have won it in the past haven't had a single pole position. So that is the championship, and it's what we're in for. But we're looking fast. We're looking strong. We've learned a lot. We're developing so much. You know, Williams now, they're helping me an incredible amount. It's awesome to be on the junior program. They've really given me the opportunity to shoot for the stars, as have winning the Autosport BRDC Young Driver of the Year award. So this sort of opportunity is what is so amazing for young British racing drivers. You know, you've got recently Joseph that's just won it, which I'm so happy for, coming from a very similar background to me. It was really special thing to be there on that night and sort of relive what I'd experienced in 22. So very, very much looking forward to 24 and seeing what it has in store. And I think we're well prepared.
Nice, nice. And also it must have been nice on the Autosport Awards night, sitting there, letting them go through the nerves of, have I done it? Have I? Because you've got to enjoy it more when you're just sat there, right?
Oh, I guess. So much fun. You saw them all not eating. I was absolutely digging into my lovely, I think we had salmon on the night, actually. It was lovely. I was digging into it. Had a few nice glasses of sparkling water. and watched them all not eat or drink anything all night. So that was quite funny. But it's always awesome to see. And it's always nice to see continuously the top people in the sport coming, watching and acknowledging the rookies coming up through the sport and the next people that are hopefully going to be knocking on the Formula One door soon.
And of course you had that kind of the sexy part of the of the award win, which was the F1 test here at Silverstone with the Aston Martin, which is a 2021 car, I believe.
Vettel's
so,
car.
He was quite handy. He gave you the award, actually, as well, wasn't he?
He
came up on the he was really sort of aside here. He was asking, like, we were queuing up to go on to the, come on and give you, well, obviously eventually your award. And he was like, oh yeah, how does it work? And he was really interested in the process, and, you know, because it is quite a special thing in motorsport to have an award geared up like that to try and have a level playing field and then give someone a real boost. So he was really engaged, and I believe I'm right in saying he actually requested to come on and do the award,
yeah,
because he was there anyway, and he was like, oh, that's a cool thing to be involved with.
Absolutely. I've still got his number. He gave me his number at the end of it, and I make it a habit of texting him on Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time, you know, anything special comes on. Thanks, Seb.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a legend. Absolute legend. And he's such a nice guy. I mean, I texted him before I went out in the car. I just asked him for any advice. He gave me some advice. A lot of it was on the mentality side as well. He said, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on you, and just enjoy it, Luke. And, you know, no one's expecting you to smash it out of the park in your first ever time in a Formula One car. I think I ragged it. I think it was good fun. But he really instilled the confidence in me and helped me understand what there was to expect.
Yeah, top guy and a really good ambassador of the sport, I think, Sebastian Vettel. So yeah, thumbs up for him, which I wasn't expecting to talk about Vettel on this podcast, which is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that day. Because you got a few runs, and it was nice to watch the team go from, you always know it's going well when the team goes for, oh God, I really hope this young guy that we've never met before
doesn't crash, brings
it back in one piece. And then by the afternoon, it's like talking to you about data and like wanting to find what your thoughts are, and let's give him another set of tyres. And
yeah,
it's like they've gone into proper test mode.
I think we got an extra couple of runs at
I
the
think
end.
You might have done, but don't tell anyone.
Secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so obviously it went brilliantly, didn't it?
Oh, it was spectacular. I mean, the first time I went through Copse flat out, I went, oh, I mean, the first time I went through Copse, it's just insane. It's hair tingling. It sticks the hairs up on the back of your spine, that, the back of your neck, that feeling of just pure elation. I can't tell you the pride I felt pulling out of the garage for the first time in a Formula One car with all my family watching. But it's also, I mean, the judges, I mean, even you, Kevin, sat there watching. It's such a lovely feeling that everyone's happy for you that's there. It was just a really wholesome day. And the more that I look back on it, I pinch myself. I almost can't believe it's happened. And yeah, I cannot wait for more experiences like that. And in the future, if you'll let me, hopefully when I'm a bit more experienced, I'd love to get involved in it, because I just feel like it's such an awesome thing for the sport, and it's such an awesome opportunity. I'd love to come and watch it, because it just makes me tingle. It makes me buzz. It's what gives me excitement about the sport. And my goal is to be an F1 world champion, no doubt about it. But secondary of that, once I've finished this, I got asked a question, Luke, what would you like to do after you've finished the sport? And for me, I get excitement out of seeing people, especially that are in a similar situation to me, progress. And I'd love to give the opportunity that you give through Autosport to kids that really deserve it. And that really, I can't tell you how hard I've worked to get to this stage, to get pushed, to get that opportunity. And there's people out there that are just like me, maybe even worked harder than me and don't get the opportunity. You know, that for me would be my goal in life, I think.
Well, I mean, you'd be welcome back as a judge. A few more years.
Carry on
with you. I mean, actually, funnily, I've had a similar thing with Lando. He's like, I want to be a judge. He's like, well, go and win a couple of world championships and, you know, come back to us, it'll be fine. A
year's time.
Yeah, exactly. I have to say, it's quite a surreal experience. So when you're standing there watching, you know, you guys go out and you've got people, yeah, who is experienced and successful in their lives as Derek Warwick and Johnny Herbert, like listening to see whether you've kept it flat through Abbey. They're going, yeah, and they look like kids really loving it. It is cool. So yeah.
Derek's passion and enthusiasm is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm thinking of what questions I should be asking you, really. Just, I think we should probably just let the listeners know. I mean, obviously, you qualified for that by winning the GB3 championship with Hi-Tech, who you're still with. I mean, is that relationship, was it important to you to make the step with Hi-Tech, even though and stay with them, even though last year didn't go as
cool? For me, loyalty and Ollie, the team owner of Hi-Tech, is like family to me. Absolutely. I mean, he gave me an opportunity, and he's ultimately the one that has made my career. You know, he's the one that, I mean, there's been a lot of people along the line. I've been so lucky to be supported by different team managers, different people that, you know, I truthfully don't have all the time to name who they are, but they know who they are. And these people are the ones that have made my career, and Ollie is one of those people, and is arguably the most recent person that's really just set my career. He's been so kind, and he didn't have to, you know, he just didn't have to. You know, I'm not family to Ollie, but he gave me the opportunity when often a lot of other people went, nah, no, what's the point, you know? And for that, I'm forever grateful for him. Mm. And that is why I want to win the F3 championship for Ollie. I wanted to win British Formula 3 for Ollie. I wanted to win Macau for Ollie. Like, you know, this for me, and that people don't have that passion. And often that loyalty in motorsport is not there. And for me, it's what is the driving factor about getting the team around you. And okay, yeah, last year was tough, but this year is going to be good because we've got the loyalty in the team. I've got the people around me. I believe in the engineer. I believe in the team. I believe in the mechanics that are putting the wheels on. And the relationship we have, I don't think other people have. You know, I don't think other people's engineers are texting them at 11:30 at night talking about data. And, you know, it's just that's the relationship that we have at Hi-Tech, and it's exciting. I think we as a team, we're excited for this Formula 3 year. We've been really, the preparation we've put in the off season has been incredible. I mean, the amount of hours we've put in, the amount of laps we've done at each circuit, we really understand what different philosophy we need to take going to different places. And even my driving, I've developed so much as a driver. I mean, I thought I was pretty complete coming in last year. I thought, well, you know, I'll be okay, I'll rock up. And I was quick, but I just wasn't the whole package. You know, I wasn't consistent. I wasn't making the most out of every situation. I was making silly mistakes. And this year, that's not going to happen.
We should say it's Ollie Oakes, who is a former finalist of the award as well, back in the
Red Bull Junior.
Did he have any advice on that? Or did...
Oh, Ollie is, he has a book. Not only of my excuses that he writes off each time, but he should write a book of his wisdom as well. It's Ollie's very, very good at putting things into perspective and helping you understand the situation that you're in now and then how to get the best out of it. It's not only the advice that Ollie brings, but it's the calmness and the perspective.
I mean, we have seen, haven't we, in actually not just Formula One. I mean, you can look in even like British touring cars, the relationships between drivers, engineers, team bosses, and they sometimes move around together. You know, it's even if they do go to different teams, sometimes the figures involved. So, yeah, personality and that chemistry between the people you work with, actually really important, isn't it? But it sounds like you've got all that pretty set. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the questions I had that we could do now then is there anyone, I think I'm going to have a good answer to this as well, so no pressure. Is there any sort of role model or anyone you look up to? It doesn't have to be motorsport, can be outside of that. Anyone that you kind of go, yeah, I like the way they do things. That's kind of the template for what I like to do.
You know what? There is so many, I cannot say the amount of people. There's not one person for me that I can say that is an all-rounding answer for that. There's so many people that have had an effect on me growing up. Not only from my parents, but you know, the founding people, my friends, but even people that I met in the sport along the way. You know, for example, you, Kevin. The way that, for example, you interact with the drivers and how passionate you are about your job brings in a perspective, and it helps me understand the passion that people have for the sport. And grasping that and understanding how you have that effect on the people that you work around. You know, for example, if we were having this conversation and I felt like you weren't that passionate about what I'd done and you didn't really care, this wouldn't be such an exciting conversation. You know, so this is what I mean. I try and pick up a little bit from everyone and pick out the best parts, and I try and, you know, show that passion back, because I have the same passion that you do for driving, that you do for watching how people come through the sport and journalism side of it. And that for me is exciting. I just want to find people the same amount of passion that I have for the sport, you know, and that's why I want to do it forever.
Well, I mean, I don't want to sound like a mutual appreciation society, but I think you bring a level of enthusiasm to the people around you as well. In fact, we have sort of non-judges floating around the award, as you know, like lots of people doing lots of tasks voluntarily. And in 2022, a lot of them came. I hope Luke's quick. We really like him. So you know, you're good to work with.
I'm glad.
So okay. So let's look away from motorsport for a moment before we finish off and I let you go. What do you do to wind down away from motorsport? I mean, I know it's full on. You've got to be training in the sim, data, all that sort of stuff. Is there a mode where you sort of shut down, and what do you do when you're doing it?
I'll be honest, I'm obsessed. I really am. When I'm away, I'm watching it. When I'm not doing anything, I'm on the simulator. When I'm not driving, I'm on the simulator. I am absolutely obsessed with the sport. I love it. I love it from every dimension. It's all consuming for me. It's all that I think about. It's all we talk about as a family when we get home. My flat is surrounded by pictures of racing, and you know, it's just everything is racing orientated, and I wouldn't want it any other way. So but I can relax. I really can. I have a bit of an ability, I think, to be able to, for almost for there to be carnage going on in my life, but to be able to, when it's important for the racing, to be able to relax and focus when it needs to be. But equally, I'm someone that, okay, yeah, I'm really driven to do and to be successful, not only to get fit, but to be quick on the simulator. I can sit for 8 or 9 hours on the simulator, no problem. It's just I have this obsessive personality of just wanting to just be better. But with that comes, I need the mental break from it. And people that are close to me will often say, Luke, you're too obsessed over something. You need to often take a step back, have some perspective. And often having a day off and a day break and a day to relax really helps me to reset, recover, find an even new level of focus and concentration, which is what I think Ollie, my mum, my dad, my parents, my people around me, help me realise.
Nice, nice. And then you mentioned there you watch racing. So are there any particular categories that you keep an eye on, or do you sort of dip in and out of lots?
I love everything. I really do. I was watching.
You've got another job. I was watching all sport if you ever fancy a switch.
I was watching some Australian truck racing last week.
Oh wow!
Like, they're flying over some massive jumps, and I was going, "Oh my god, I want to be in one of them." I just like driving. I drive a lot. I drive anything, to be honest. I think me and my dad used to race stuff up. We'd race up the stairs if we could. So it's not only on motorsport and cars side of it. I think we're just incredibly competitive as a family, and with that just comes a natural want to succeed and drive things quickly. I think also just having a little bit of a screw loose probably helps.
I was just about to say we should get out doing track tests, but maybe not if you've got a screw loose. We'll tighten that screw.
Don't worry. My mechanical sympathy will be perfectly intact, I promise.
Excellent stuff. Well, look, thank you very much, Luke Browning, for joining us. It's been a pleasure, as always. And best of luck this season, as we've got 5 Brits in Formula 3 this year. So yeah. I would encourage the listeners to keep a good eye on listeners a good eye. I'm not sure if that works.
Mm.
Keep track of.
Please watch me.
please watch Luke and the other Rits that we've had the good fortune to speak to. But thanks again, Luke. Best of luck this season. Hopefully speak to you again soon. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. We'll be back soon with another Autosport podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.